Jamon G, we are on the fly at the Air Ops building, which is right on the flight line in front of Boeing Plaza, sitting next to a beautiful American Airlines A321 that just pulled in. And this is the first time we have visited Air Ops in probably a decade on the fly. So we have some exciting stuff to talk about here. We're going to talk to Boyd Martin, who is the EAA Director of Air Operations, and also Tim Fitzgerald, who is the producer of the air show at Oshkosh. Boyd, welcome to EA Radio.
Thank you for having me.
And listen, our listeners, a lot of which are active pilots and come to Oshkosh, are so curious about how this air show is put together. And it is a complex, lots of nuts and bolts activity, and it starts months in advance, right?
Well, it'll actually start about 2 weeks after this one ends, where we start getting together and doing a planning of what kind of anniversaries and celebrations we want to make the next year, and then make a list of what kind of airplanes we need to invite to support the themes we're doing for that particular year.
So you have you share duties with Tim Fitzgerald as well. Tim actually is producing the air show, so is he in charge of finding and rounding up the participants?
Yeah, when they hired Tim and I, they kind of had us as a pair. So while we do have a delineation of jobs, it's very gray. So I'll do whatever I need to do to get the show moving. Tim does, so we really share responsibilities, but by title. As we plan, Tim will go invite airplanes, we'll start identifying performers, and then once he does that, then I start figuring out how to get them here, when to get them here, work with the ramp on how to park them. So we work hand in hand, and if I need to call people, because it's a lot of people to call, you know, there's a lot of airplanes here, so we split duties to be most efficient.
So when all this starts coming together, let's just talk about some of the basic nuts and bolts. First of all, the structure of an air show, any air show, starts at the top with an Airbus, correct?
Correct. We have five. So being that there's technically 14 shows throughout the week, there's a day show and a night show Wednesday and Saturday. There's also a show down at Twilight Flight Fest Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. So no one person can do all that. So we have five air bosses that come. It takes any two of them to work the main show because of the complexity of it. And then they can rest and rotate and work the different venues that we have going, as well as three air bosses that work the North Tower on 927 during the air show, because that stays an active runway. So we actually have CTO controllers, retired controllers, that get recertified to work traffic up there during the air show as well.
Okay, so all of this, of course, occurs under an FAA waiver, which is applied for at some point early in the year every year, right? And that's pretty specific and goes along with the NOTAM as well, probably.
Well, two things. The NOTAM covers the entire event. The FAA and the air traffic controllers are using the NOTAM to get here. For me, I apply for the waiver, which runs from an hour before the show starts to an hour after the show, and we waive the FARs necessary to allow aerobatics, speed for the night show, for them to turn their lights off to do their. So while we as EAA are running the airspace, then we have the waiver. When the FAA is running the airspace, they're utilizing the NOTAM.
Okay, got it. So during the waiver period, there's a lot of requirements, and I know that when the jet teams are here, there's some extra concerns that the FAA has that you have to put in place, which can complicate things, right, just for those shows.
Correct. For our normal show, we have a smaller box that has a 500-foot line, which for Category 3 aircraft, generally your piston or prop airframes, we have a 1,000-foot line. But when the jet teams come in, we open a bigger box that is down on the north end of the field. And it does have a 1,500-foot line, which is what the jets have to fly. So when you get into the weekend, you're going to notice that the crowd line gets moved back to the speaker poles, and that is to allow the increase of separation necessary to operate the bigger box.
So let's talk. Go back to the Airbus. What are the requirements for an Airbus to get certified as an air boss, and what is his responsibilities?
For the air boss.
The air boss, yeah. During the show.
There's a training program through ICAS. So if you're looking to be an air boss, you can apply and take a class. Then you go out and train with an active air boss, and once you get recommended, there's a certification process you go through to be able to work by yourself. There's always different levels. Here is what they call a complex multi-venue air show. So this is the top of the tier for air bosses. If you're doing a basic or standard air boss where you may do one show at a small airport, you can get that level of certification because you're not going to work a jet team or a single ship demo. You're just going to work, you know, like Michael Goulian or some of the smaller airplanes that fit into a smaller box. So it depends on the level of air show you're trying to work.
Now, what our listeners might not understand is that most people might think, well, there's an air traffic controller in a tower controlling all this operation. But actually, the FAA air traffic controllers give up the airspace when the air show starts, and the air boss is actually completely in charge of the airspace, correct?
That is correct. So at 2:15, the tower will actually close, turn the airspace over to the air boss, who then becomes responsible with the TFR as the 5 miles around up to 15,000 feet, which is what he has to conduct the air show and contain the airplanes they're in. Because they're, when you're doing aerobatics, you're not able to defend yourself against anybody, intruders. So the air boss is there to ensure your safety or the pilot's safety of if anybody intrudes.
And, of course, the crowd, you know, the event itself.
Crowd lines are set for their safety. You know, we have, as I mentioned, 500-foot line. That's why the crowd line is where it is. The first air show line has to be 500 feet away from the crowd. Larger type aircraft have to be moved further away. That's why the 1,000-foot line's there based off the type aircraft in the air.
So when the air boss starts the show at 2:15, he's kind of running the show, but he's kind of controlling his puppets, right? He's got a team of people that are on different frequencies that are organizing a lot of different things, right? Tell us about that.
Actually, it's just him on one frequency that organizes everything. Now, we do have the North Tower, so we have one frequency, one air boss. He does have a support system around him that's coordinating things, not on a frequency, but coordinating things with the North Tower or with the performers to be where the boss needs them. But no airplanes moving, taxing, or in the air that the boss is not talking to on his one frequency. And that's the way we assure safety, to have the one guy talking.
That's awesome. Well, thank you, Boyd, for joining us and for cleaning up some misconceptions about how the air show works. Because I know that everyone has questions about it, and it's kind of a mystery. You know, hidden nuts and bolts, we call it, that make it all look so easy and make it all happen so smoothly. But it's very intricate, right? Very intricate show.
Well, we hope it looks that easy. It's we put a lot of work into it to make it look easy to the crowd. So thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you. J-Mont G, we're on the fly at Air Operations right here next to Boeing Plaza on the flight line side. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back to talk to some performers who are here at the Oshkosh AirVenture Air Show in just a moment. You're listening to EA Radio.